All right, you know, we're back tonight to talk about the Word of the Lord, and I think again tonight, I haven't done this for two or three nights now, but I think I'm going to let somebody ask a question tonight and maybe just take a thought and maybe answer the question, since we just gathered together with a few here to have a little fellowship. Looks like they're going real well on the building down here. They've about got it fixed. I want to say I appreciate the ones that have worked so faithfully on my coach. There's a little something that had to be done to it, and the man told me when we brought it out that it had to be done, and he was going to do it, or said I could do it, and gave me a little discount if we did it. So we decided we'd do it out here, and they found out what the problem is. Took them a little while. Betty and I rode off the other day down to Tifton. We didn't take very long, but just drove down and spent the night at a little old camp there. I was kind of lonely and in the night, and just spent the night there to where we could just kind of think a little bit and ask God to help us and guide us, get our thoughts together, and to try the coach out to see if it was going to shake off the problem or if it was going to have to do something to it. And of course, the problem prevailed down there and back. But today they found it. We prayed last night. I told them I felt like that they'd be able to find it today, and they did. If you've got a thought tonight and you'd like to express yourself, we'd like to comment just a little bit and see if we could answer the question. You may not have any questions. You know, you may be well satisfied in what you understand and know. And may not have any questions, but I do have a lot of people that have questions. And they want to ask me things like yesterday morning, I believe it was, I stepped out to the house out there where they're working. And about four of them was in a discussion, and one was presenting a question and kind of in disagreement with somebody that had published some articles in a book. And then the other three was kind of baffled as to whether they should answer or how they should answer. And it created a little problem among them. But it was very obvious as to God's opinion of it and God's answer to it. God thought about it and what God had done as to whether it was right or whether it was wrong. And had just a few minutes discussion and everything was cleared up. So then that means that sometimes just a word or two can clear up a lot of problems and cause people to better understand the ways of God and what they're in this world for. Well, anyway, we'll just give you a chance here and not take a long time. If you've got something you'd like to ask, we'd like to hear it. I think the last time that we did this, Brother Pete asked something about the name of the Lord, and we went into a little context, and I've got it on tape as to the answer. Sometimes ministers do this. As a matter of fact, you can get questions and answers out of some of the great ministers' library. Well, they do this and they put it on tape. What they usually do, they usually just let people write in different things, and they take it home and pray over it and read and do research and have everything to where they can come back and comment and just kind of preach on it and make a tape of question and answers. I just kind of prefer to let them ask a question. And if it's something that we can handle just right then and there, well, we just go ahead and comment on it. And if not, then we just talk with you later about it. And if it's going to take too much time or something that we have to kind of dig into. Anybody got a question? That's a good question. Bill, it appears that they don't come till the middle of the week. But if you'll search it out, you'll find that they obviously come around the first of the week. Because in the middle of the week, the Antichrist rises up and kills them. And the Bible said that they are to prophesy for 3 years and a half. It gives it in the scores and whatever. And we mentioned it somewhere on tape. And in that, they come, They come, and when they finish their ministry, about the middle of the week, if you'll notice that there's a number of things that run together, they're kind of into like a junction. In the middle of Daniel's last week, which is the last 7 years of the tribulation period, that is the only tribulation period, but the last 7 years of the 490 years that the angel told Daniel would come upon his people, which was the Jews. So that end, when he said 70 weeks is determined upon thy people to make an end, he was speaking of the Jews. And then I brought it out how that was multiplied as to 7 times 7. And brought it out in proportionally of what it means. We've got it on tape, so I won't try to go into it. But brought it out as to the 49 weeks and brought it out as to how far it reached to the 83, coming on down to the 83 and then on down to the 90. 490 years. So then with that, the last 7 years of what it was after Messiah was cut off, and the last 7 years divided from the first part. Then it left the first part coming all the way from Babylon to Calvary, doing what we call the silent years. And then the 7 years at the dividing slipped over past 2,000 years and then comes back into view to tie itself to the 483 years to make a full end of the prophecy that was given to Daniel as determined upon his people. And the reason for that, of course, is most of you know that the Lord counting that time of the Jews while they're in their homeland, then it counts all the way from the time of Babylon over to Calvary. Not that they're in their homeland in the sense of Babylon, but it is that they're in their homeland shortly after that, because Nehemiah builds the walls back in the days of King Artaxerxes, and they go back into their place, and then it continues on until Calvary. And then when Calvary comes, then when the dividing asunder comes, they're driven out. Titus, in 70 AD, plowed the field. He went in as a young Roman general, plowed the fields, and he said that this is the act of God. I didn't do this because things got out of hand and there was so much blood spilt. And then the Lord allowed the temple to be burned to destroy all the records, so that with the destroying of all the records, there would be no record of anything as to kings or lineages, whatever, from the Old Testament coming all the way down. The only lineage of kingship and that would possess the throne would be that of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when God put it on the heart of the leader and ruler of that day to call them up for the taxing and call them all to their native homeland. And when he called Joseph and Mary back to their own hometown and over to Bethlehem. And then it was that there was a record. Which record will be in the day of the judgment? That is to say, after the tribulation period, these records will be sought, and they will come in to bring in the 1,000 years millennium. To bring in the 1,000 years millennium, there won't be any other record except the Lord Jesus going to the throne as the lineage of David, and he will sit upon the throne and rule with his 12 apostolic leaders. And they'll have to give him the throne, not only as to a religious perspective, but they'll have to give it to him according to a governmental perspective of a historical thing, because that's all they'll have. The Lord allowed that so that they would have those records at that time to be able to do that. Now, so when you say the last 7 years, you're saying the revelation of Jesus Christ or the tribulation period, which means the revelation, of course, going to the Jewish people. And we get the revelation, it comes from Calvary doing the expose of the church ages. And it comes in a spiritual enlightenment. When they get it, it comes in a natural thing as to the symbols and types and the actual stars falling and the natural things happening in the earth. So when we think about these things, we know that the last 7 years, as we teach, the last 7 years, there is a dividing of times, time and a half a time. and we brought it out as to a time and times and a half a time, what each one of them means. And being in the middle of the week, then at the same time in the middle of the week, if you recall, it is at the very same time that the angel is standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and lifting his hands to heaven and swearing by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. It is all coming into a junction line. And it is at that same time in the eighth chapter that the trumpets begin to sound. And with the sounding of 11:15, the last trumpeter sound, and with that, the blood apparently coming off of the mercy seat, it is shown then that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, that He should rule and reign forever. And then the censer that's filled with fire that had the prayers of the saints bottled up is slung down into the earth, and all of the hell, all of the blood and hell mingled with blood, and the catastrophes of the world begins to strike. So all of that kind of comes into a junction. For the prophets have prophesied, they've had their period of prophecy, and they prophesied, and now at that time the beast comes on the scene because Satan is cast out and he begins to take on a personification in the earth, and the power of the beast, the regime, begins to come in. And with that, then those things as to the three unclean spirits coming out of the dragon and the false prophet Antichrist and these kind of things goes out into the earth together, all the people together, to Revelation 19 as to the valley of blood where the wrath of God will come and the vesture dipped in blood as to the word of God, Jesus Christ, will return on the white horse and fight till the blood runs to the horse's bridle. As they gather all nations in against Christ and His rule, then He will make an end of them there as all nations. And the great earthquakes will then claim the nations, for the Bible said, and I saw the great cities. I saw them crumble to the ground, and I saw the mountain and the islands move out of their place. There wasn't any place found for them. And so then at that very same time in the middle of the week, then we find that there comes along just following that where it is said, and one appears with a crown on his head on the cloud and says, thrust in the sickle as to one of them that came forth. And another said, cut down the vine. And another, and they spoke and said, gathered into the winepress of Almighty God. And the Bible said that the winepress was trod without the city. Now when we say that, we also brought that out in detail where it tells us that this vine goes back to where we use the term, and that went through the grapevine, saying that people are a vine because Jesus said, I planted a vineyard, and my vine brought forth sour grapes, speaking of the Jews. I'd done everything I could for my vineyard, he said, but it still brought forth sour grapes. And when Jesus came and told the Jews this parable, it really upset them because he said, now, having killed everyone I sent to reap this vintage, he said, now God has sent his own son, and you didn't reference him. So you killed him according to the parable. Now God will take it out of your hands and put it in the hands of the Gentiles. But he spoke of it parabolically to where they couldn't tell what he was saying, so they couldn't pounce on him, but they perceived that he spoke of them. And so then God did take the vineyard away from them, cut them off, and then gave it to the Gentiles. Now he's ready to cut the Gentiles down. But anyway, in the middle of the week, then the blood comes off of the seat of atonement as to Revelation 12, the war in heaven, and Satan is cast out. And that with that, that's the red dragon going out, which indicates the blood life at an end. For the red dragon means that back to Adam and the blood life that was contaminated by the spirit of Satan or the dragon, in that in Adam all die and generations find sin and death in Adam and generations find life in the spirit as to the new blood cell in the washing of regeneration in Christ Jesus. Sin and death by one man and righteousness and life by one man. So then when it comes to the washing of regeneration, and it comes to the middle of the week, then we find the last trumpet sounding, we find the war in heaven, we find Satan going out, which is the blood coming off of the seat of atonement, not that Satan is the blood, but Satan going out means the red dragon is to blood alive the old generation of vipers that will never be in the presence of God again, nor illuminated with the light of God and the understanding of God again, and never have another chance to be in the presence of this religious, wonderful blessing that gives them opportunity to repent and acknowledge their wrong, that they might find a place of repentance and find salvation. So then that indicates that the blood is coming off. The personification, the gathering by the three unclean spirits, gathering the people together to the valley of blood, and that means the vine is cut down. That's to say that he will not use the Gentiles anymore as a reflector. And we brought some of these things out in an allegoric way that it'd take a long time to go into the revelation. But how that the stars would fall from heaven, why they would fall from heaven, and how they related to three different realms. And one of those realms was the human physical realms, and how that these things would begin to fall in all three realms. And if we took a little time tonight, it would show how that in all three realms, those stars fall from heaven. And with that, and to the Jews, the natural stars actually fall. So then it means that with that, the blood coming off a third part of the stars, the devil curls his tail as the old dragon around the third part of the stars and pulls them down to the earth and tramples on them. Which means the reflectors, the nickel and the rock, or that which does not belong up there, as we say, and these have climbed up into the upper lintel. These things that really doesn't belong up there, God using as in another realm, people who are but reflectors, they don't belong in the church, though they are religious, and God has suffered it to break down the strength as to such a strong light that it might be a little reflection or precipitation to them that are lost, and through their hypocrisy, they reflect that light. And with that light, even as Satan quoted the scripture to Jesus, with that light, it's kind of like a startina sort of a thing where people, they get religious inclination because those people meet them on their own basis and level of life. And once they get just a little taste of it, the real elect just pulls right on in past them. And then when God is finished with them, he doesn't need them anymore. So he does away with the reflectors and puts them out of the presence of God, which means the days of grace is over. And they're not in the upper lintel anymore, as in the second heaven. So they have to fall. And then, of course, we could go on and go on to the great, wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus as to what God has done in his allegorics. And then when we look at it, we realize that in the middle of the week, then the prophecy is finished, and suddenly within the midst of the two prophets, the Lord Jesus appears with the new blood cell, or the quickening spirit, as the return of the Lord Jesus, the second man, Adam, to let him know that blood life is over as to the fall, and those Jews paralleling with the Gentiles, it shows that that time is over of the body not being redeemed. And your body, of course, the change for the days of the Gentiles is finished. And the angel declares time no more, which indicates time for the Gentiles is over. Time for the Gentiles is no more. And so then with that, he appears in the middle of those, in the middle of the week, in the middle of those two prophets, as Jesus did on the mountain when he said, I'll be perfected the third day. And then those two prophets, they just go away. They're killed and they lay in the street. And finally, as it was said, Jesus only was left. So the Lord is left to stand on Mount Zion in Revelation 14 to show the new blood cell as to the nail prints that's in his hands. As a matter of fact, the other day when they was having a little dispute, that's what they were having a dispute over. Somebody read in Brother Branham's book something about a new egg or something, and they disagreed with it, and they didn't quite understand it, but in all reality it was right. What the man had said was right, because it is exactly that way. But anyway, the man was explaining the way that he understood it and the way that God had given it to him, but it was exactly right. So when I explain what little I do, trying to help you, I'm just here to help your faith. I'm just a helper of your faith. See, this great, wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ came after Calvary, and it came to Christ, just to Christ. It was what God gave Christ. He didn't give it to Paul. He didn't give it to John. He didn't give it to me. He didn't give it to you. He didn't give it to anybody else. He gave it to Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, of what He is and His great, wonderful act of creation, which is God in His fullness revealed in Jesus Christ. The only reason that John got it and Paul got it and I got it was as to the measure that God dispensed to us, in the sense that we are His bodily members and He glorifies us with His own glory. I say this a lot of times, you know, and some folks don't understand it. I say that God gives us His glory. Someone runs over that to the scripture, you know, and they say, well, the Bible says God's glory He will not give to another. So they think they've annulled everything that you say, which that is right. The Bible does say that. And we certainly don't alter it nor change it because that's what He said. But I try to explain to you that we are not another. We are His own body. We are His own flesh. And He said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with Thee before the world ever was. That's the glory of God. He gives it to us because we're His body. And the Bible said, we are His glory. For a woman is our body and our glory to reproduce our image. We are His body and we are the Spirit's body in glory to reproduce His image. So He gives us His own glory. And the glory, of course, to the woman, you give her rings, you give her bracelets, you give her necklaces, you give her pretty clothing, you give her all kinds of furniture, you give her car, you give her everything, you know, all of your labor goes to her and to the children because you want to glorify her with all of your labor and all of your desire. And your endeavor is to get an education and be a professional man, and I'll be a doctor, lawyer, whatever you might be, you know, and through that professional thing of your intellectual brilliance, you adorn her with her castle and her palaces and whatever. But see, it's only symbolic as to a shadow, because with the beautiful mind of Christ, we adorn our body as Christ within us, that mind of Christ, that wonderful knowledge of God. He is building for us a palace, and He's building for us a mansion. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. If I go, I will come again, and I will receive you unto my own, that where I am, there ye might be also. Ye now have sorrow in your heart because I say these things, but I'll see you again, and then you'll have joy, and your joy no man shall take from you. So He went away to make a palace. He went away to make us a mansion. And the mansion that He went away to make is your own body. He went into your heart, into the heavenlies of your spirit, and He went in there to make your body into His beautiful body to work, to do the works, for He doeth the works. And then it is coming, this beautiful mansion, the dwelling of your inner man. As to Him, He will dwell in this beautiful mansion as to the membership of the body of Christ. For He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it had not been so, I would have told you. And that Father's house is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God being a spirit, He dwells in that house fully without measure. And He has many members to that body, and each measure of that Christ on the inside has made a membership, a beautiful mansion for every measure of spirit of Christ that goes into the membership to take you as an individual, that it might be your individual dwelling place throughout eternity, having the mind of Christ, the ability of Christ to say what you will, to go where you will, and be what you will, and just to go throughout eternity anywhere at any time, just with your thoughts and desires, like a beautiful bird, you know. So when you say the middle of the week and you speak about the two prophets as to their administration, it has to do with the first 3.5 years. And then after that comes the tribulation period. And during the tribulation period, then in this tribulation period, in this sorrow of these kind of things, the woman is hid away. And she is hid away in her tutoring and hid away in her blessings from God, where these have tutored, and where the Antichrist has tried to come in on her. She hath a place prepared because her child is now born, caught up to the throne, and she has a resting place to recover from her travail. For in the Old Testament, it was that when they brought forth a man child, they had to recover a certain amount of days. And this has to do with those 7 days. As to the Bible speaking of that, and to 3.5 years and these kind of things. So, in the Old Testament, a day is to a year. Now, when we find out that she's gone to recover, it's very obvious that God has well done his job, and now Israel has recognized the Messiah, and the child has been caught up as to the 144,000 being sealed and going up to the throne, and the remnant has gone into the wilderness that gave birth to this great, wonderful people at the beginning when they're sealed. And of course, they parallel with the body, just like we are being the elect, according to God, as to the spiritual part. As to the male, they go back to the female part, but still it's the bodily members of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas right in there, it takes a lot of explaining. And when you say something about that, you say, well, how can this be, Brother Pike? Well, it's real simple. When Jesus is in Revelation 12 as the woman in travail with his feet on the moon, it goes back to Calvary. And Jesus came, as you remember, as a Jewish person born among the Jews. And he was in the feminine gender because he come in your likeness and you're in the feminine gender. And when he was hanging at Calvary, he was travailing to bring forth the Christ, which was the birth of the child. And when the child was born, it was caught up to the throne as to the chains, becoming the quickening spirit. And the woman, which was the Jews, when she lost her head as to Jesus being cut off as to the Christ, the male part, then the feminine part went away. So Jesus went away, and when the image of sin was gone, then he appeared in a new image as to the male perspective, caught up to the throne, and the woman went into the wilderness doing all this time to go through the dark age in these period of time to show her resting place or her place where she was hid away. And in that, we wonder how that can be. But the thing is, she was blinded in part that she could not know that sin was unbelief and that righteousness was by the Messiah. Sin by one man, Adam, and righteousness by one man, Christ. And when she did not know the Messiah, then that meant that she was not accountable for her sins. And in that the Bible says, great is the mystery of God. Paul said, how wonderful is the wonderful wisdom of God, having concluded the Jews in unbelief that he might have mercy on them, because where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. And therefore they wander through the wilderness and around until the day that God brings them into their rest, and that is into the millennium. Or he restores them, and he doesn't charge anything against them. Though they go through the Holocaust, they go through all the sorrow. As to the body, their spirit is sealed, and their body goes through a suffering as to the woman of travail, because they have to travail and suffer the same way that Jesus did as their head. Now, I'm saying this in such a compact manner tonight, it would take hours and hours to elaborate on it and go into it and preach on it a little at a time and bring the inspiration of it. But this is what I'm saying. These things go on tape and can be summed up if somebody goes back and listens at them, ponders over them for days and weeks and months. They can feed from the tapes as to God revealing to them these things that we're talking about. Because within these words are hit great and mighty mysteries. Well, anyway, that's about the size of it. We could go on and go on commenting on it. But I'm just simply saying that with that one thing in mind, that it is the middle of the week, and their administration ends, and then they are killed. Antichrist seeks their life, and he kills them. They lay in the street for about 3.5 days, and after that, the Spirit of God and life comes into them, and they lift up on their feet, and they're caught up into heaven. And all of the world sees it. They no doubt will be television, where people will be watching it all over the world. And people that are in Jerusalem, and people in the local area, and wherever it will be. They hate those prophets during the time of their regime, for the Bible says that these men tormented them with the message that they preached, because they're going to preach that it's too late, and they're going to preach the doom and damnation, and they're going to preach that there's no salvation to the wicked that they have sold their birthright. And the people are going to hate them. Well, let's stand together. Just a little exaltation tonight. Give you plenty of time to go do your thing and still listen to a few words tonight. While they're coming back to the musical instruments, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. But once the master has risen up and shut to the door, they will begin to knock on the outside and cry, "Open unto us," but it'll be too late. Let's sing a little chorus together, Brother Taylor. I don't want no gold and silver. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus to keep me out of hell's raging flame. You can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the worldly things. I'll just take the love of Jesus. It'll keep me out of hell's flame. So you can gold and silver, and you can have all your worldly things. I'll just take the cross with Jesus, and every day I'll praise his name. Sing it with me. Oh, do you want all the gold and silver? And do you want this worldly fame? Along with that comes tribulation, and at the end, hell's burning flame. So I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no worldly thing. All I want is real salvation. For to me, folks, that's everything. All right, so then what I want is Christ. I want my soul. A man gained the whole world and lose his soul. What hath he profited? And what can you give in exchange for your soul at the end of the way? Church doesn't seem to be very important. The gospel doesn't seem to be very important. The work and labor of Christ to win a soul doesn't seem to be very important. But at the end of the way, all of those that thought it not so important will realize they should have been in church. They should have been listening to the word. They should have been praying. They should have been seeking God. They should have been growing in the grace and knowledge of God. They should have had a vision. For without a vision, the people perish. And then they suddenly realize how great and wonderful it is to be a Christian and to have the wonderful word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If there's no word of God, there is no hearing. If there's no hearing, there's no faith. If there's no faith, there's no salvation. How can they then hear lest they have a preacher? And how can he preach lest he be sent? For the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring us glad tidings of great joy. They teach us there's a risen Savior. So folks, whatever you do, treasure your little place here at Bethlehem. Treasure your church. Treasure the Christ. and treasure your brotherhood and sisterhood. Love one another and work together because you desperately need one another. The time's coming when you're going to need one another, and you're going to find out that that's the greatest, most lovable, most wonderful thing that ever happened to you. That's right. Let's sing this little chorus. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Sing that with me, can you? Oh, time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. One more time together. For time, remember now, the end of the church ages is coming to a close. Salvation is going to be over. The light that leads and guides you and gives you opportunity to find repentance unto life won't be anymore, and the reflectors are going to fall. Look around you. You'll see that everywhere people are falling. The Bible said, "And the end shall not come till there be a great falling away first, and the man of perdition be revealed that sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So then he's being revealed now everywhere, and the end is here. Hold fast to what you've got. Don't turn it loose. Hold on to it. For now is that great, wonderful hour of your prize and reward. And look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Now's the hour. Close your eyes, lift your hands, and let's acknowledge God tonight as we sing this chorus. For time shall be no more, no more.